The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at ClouserDrilling.com. Randall Albertson joins me. He is the chair of the Jackson County Republican Party. Randall, welcome back. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Tell us about MOGA. Republicans of Jackson County putting on an event a week from Saturday. It's not Make America Great Again in this case. It's Make Oregon Great Again. Going to be going on at the Jackson County Expo, but all-day event on a week from Saturday, right? Is that the story?
That's correct, Bill. It's just fully formed grassroots here in Jackson County, all locally funded, all-day event. Building the Patriot Wave, we have Mike Lindell, Joe Hoff, Dave Duquette, and a whole host of other speakers all day.
Why don't we talk about some of these people here? Not everybody, I think, will know who some of these people are. They may understand when they, I know that, if you read the Gateway Pundit, you know who Joe Hoff is, but maybe a lot of other people. But
sure.
Why don't you break down the people? We all know My Pillow Guy. We all know Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell has an interesting story there. And I have to tell you, he has pretty much put his My Pillow empire on the chopping block in order to try to wouldn't you say that's really what he's been doing in order to get what he talks about election integrity a lot? Is that where he's going from on this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. He's really a spearhead for election integrity and bringing accountability and transparency back to the election process all over the country. And, in many ways, a lot of these, we're all kind of there where we love our country. We mm-hmm. want to see good things happen and life improve for everybody. And these speakers especially are putting a lot on the line to speak truth and get the word out and rally the troops to get out and vote and to get back into the political process.
Joe Hoff, the Gateway Pundit, what can you tell us about him?
Well, he has a show on Frank's speech, mm-hmm. and he's, again, another true speaker. The government's been going after him, trying to bankrupt the Gateway Pundit for speaking truth. Imagine that. I'm sure no one's shocked. We have a problem, an epidemic in our country of not being able to speak what we know and something that is going on, but it's not the politically correct thing to do. And that, I guess that started a long time ago, but Joe Hoff's been at it for decades now, going after the truth and reporting on it. And he's taking his hits for doing it.
Yeah. And let's see, Andy Pollack's going to be here. Of course, I've talked to him several times over the years, and he now lives in Southern Oregon. It's kind of an interesting story there. His daughter ended up dying at the Florida school shooting a number of years ago. It was quite tragic, really.
That's right. Yeah. And since then, he's turned tragedy into kind of a conquest of bringing safety back to the schools. Just similar to he speaks often with John Lott, and they speak often the fact that, there's more guns, then there's less crime.
Yeah, in fact, and speaking of which, you got John Lott coming. And I've interviewed John Lott probably, 30, 40 times over the years. He's, excellent when it comes to Second Amendment issues. He goes to the numbers, though, doesn't he? Really digs into that.
He does. He really gives a lot of the facts and statistics that help will help arm and equip all of us with the knowledge of how common sense is that if everyone is armed and can handle safely, the society's safer every place we go.
Yeah,
and that's something that he explains really well.
Now, Randall Albertson, once again, he's a Jackson County Republican Party chair. Randall, I'm sorry to plead a little ignorance on this. Who is Dave Duquette? Tell me about Dave.
Dave Duquette, Western Justice. So recently,
okay.
he won a Emmy Award for the the promo for Pocatello Land Grab. And basically, Pocatello, Idaho, the government was extremely corrupt at all levels, and they were basically doing a seizure of land, eminent domain type stuff, to remove all the citizens who've been there generations from their land. And he exposed that and stopped it.
Notice that you're getting into the education aspect of things, too, with Donna Kreitzberg. Yeah, she should. I'm sure she's going to give an interesting talk next Saturday or a week from Saturday.
Yeah, here's another grassroots. I mean, she's putting it on the line, getting two petitions out for bringing school choice back to Oregon so that parents can decide where their kids would get the best education, and they have options to choose from. And, you know, this is another bit of common sense. We're bringing back common sense to Oregon and taking back Oregon and making it great again. And Dawn is very much a part of that, bringing school choice back to the table.
So how much does it cost to go to the Make Oregon Great Again event? It's going to be once again a week from Saturday, not this Saturday, but Saturday the 22nd at the Expo. And where do you go to get tickets for this, Randall?
Yep. We worked really hard. We want as many people there as possible. And so $37 for an all-day event. Mm-hmm. I don't want to forget Mark McKay, by the way. Oh. He's going to be debuting a couple of his songs, Nashville Music Talent. He did a song on Fannie Willis. He just recently completed and released the song on Trump. And they're just powerhouse songs. He's got a unique style and really enjoy him. And he's going to be debuting throughout the day during our in-between speakers. And then he's going to have a full concert at the end for those who want to stay. It's free for them. But then that concert, starting at 6:30, will be open to the public. So prices of tickets, though, $37 for general admission. General admission plus $55 in for VIP tickets, $250. And that's where you have access to the green room, which is fully catered, private bathrooms, you get front row seating. There's an event the night before, meeting the keynote speakers and persons of note that I've mentioned. And it's going to be just – it's a great time. It's we're rallying the troops to – We have to stop being so isolated and individual because we're getting our shorts handed to us in Oregon for, 30 years now or so. We need to turn this tide back.
One of the challenges, and I think that this is a Rally the Troops event then, Make Oregon Great Again here, Randall. What I was kind of curious about, though, is a lot of people raised some questions when the Jackson County Republican Party ended up shutting down or giving up the downtown location. And I never really had much of a chance to talk about it. You want to tell people what you're thinking, where you're going with this? And I know the Republican women ended up taking over that that old downtown situation. Some people were kind of scratching their heads and wondering what was going on. And could you explain that?
Yeah. Well, that's actually a really good scenario of coming together and partnering together. I have some more stories like that over the recent primary. Mm-hmm. But we were spending quite a bit of money for that office on Main Street, a historical office, and it was a wonderful office. And we are looking for an office, and we'll be finding one smaller and safer. But due to the lack of parking and a lot of transient work people down there, and a lot of safety concerns that people had brought up.
But didn't you have the windows broken there two or three times, I think, if I recall?
We did, and that was the only way in and out. There was no other way at the front. And we just saw, look, our goal is to win elections, and that's by increasing voter registration and voter turnout to get our candidates, our Republican candidates, over the finish line. And that's really what we need to stay focused on and about. So we saw our use of funds being better spent towards more community events like this one, which is a very big event, much bigger than we've ever done before that I can remember. And also for building our online presence. That's increased quite a bit. Coming up at our next DC meeting, we'll be going over the statistics and report on online traffic. And it's quite impressive.
How are you going to handle the on the ground? I mean, online is great, Randall. I mean, I'm throwing a little water at you here, just a little water on it. But I mean, online's great, but you know, a lot of politics is also grassroots on the ground in the three-dimensional world, having to go and get signs and go out there and rally people and go door to door. I mean, not everything can be done online. What is your plan there, you think?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we're partnering. So again, it's about partnering together, because this war that Lincoln said we traded bullets for ballots. So when I'm referring to war, it's the ballot war. We're partnering with businesses that have the candidate signs, and they're all peppered all over Jackson County. And we're continuing to grow. And so those businesses and those partnerships, so you can pick up those signs at will at those businesses, and what their businesses are even increasing their business customers and purchases, sales by sending traffic to them. So that's and of course, we're partnered with the Jackson County Republican Ladies. They're holding down the office, and that's their responsibility. And we're so thankful that they've stepped up to that. So they're also a place to meet and greet and have signs, and we coordinate with them recently in the last primary, helping one another. We're helping, and we stopped bigger government, stopped the county charter change in Jackson together, and we did this together. So thankful for all the other patriots out there that are pulling together like this. So we are looking for an office, though. It's not like we're not going to go back to an office. One thing we found, though, is that there are a lot of businesses, Punky's and Black Bear and the library and the police center with some larger capacity rooms, bigger than what we had at the office. So even when we meet, we want to be welcoming to somebody that wouldn't necessarily say, hey, I'm going to go down to the Republican office, but I'm going to go to this event where this person is speaking. And as it's not at the Republican office, they're that if they have never stepped or never come in contact with a group of Republicans, they might be a little intimidated. So they are able to come to the library or come to Black Bear Diner for some pie and coffee and meet and greet and listen to somebody speak.
How are you set up for the how are you set up for get out the vote this fall when it comes to the ability to do call outs and things like that? Because that is a huge, huge part of, even former President Trump, who, of course, is going to be next President Trump, as far as I can tell, he's encouraging everybody that when we no longer have voting day, we have voting season, essentially, which you got to, the ballots drop here in Oregon, and you got a couple of weeks. And the whole idea is that even President Trump has come around to the idea that, okay, you got to vote early, you got to vote right away. And that allows then the party people like yourself, Ben, to start making the calls to get the people who have not voted yet to do their thing. And so how are you set up for that?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Bill. It's voting season. And we have really accessed and updated technologically wise. Not only do we have our volunteers sending out texts and voice calls from the list of people who have not voted, but we're able to send out tens of thousands. I believe even the primary, I think we sent out 100,000 texts and voicemail calls where they drop right into your voicemail, and it's coming from a person, like you or I, or somebody in the area that's basically encouraging and supporting people, reminding them, hey, make sure to vote. This is important. This is your right and your duty. And it's your voice has a say in what direction Oregon goes.
Did you have that in place in the primary? I'm just curious. And how do you get on that list per se? Because I didn't get anything. I don't recall getting anything from JCRP. I'm just double checking here because this fall is going to be huge. Going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point, Bill. So in today's market of technology, and I'm sure you know this better than I do. You can really target the type of voter that you're looking for. So you can actually get a lot of detailed information. It all has to be purchased at a cost, but it's worth it, so that we can target specific people that that aren't likely to vote. In fact, in the last primary, we had 43 approximately. These are actually probably the old numbers. Like you said, voting season, we're still collecting numbers. 44% Republicans turned out, 21,500 Republicans voted, 27,000 Republicans did not vote.
And that's the takeaway. Boy, that That can't happen this fall.
That's where we want to target that. You know, and we understand it's like, do you trust elections? Well, there might be a few places where things need to be shored up. Do you like all the politicians? Look, Jesus is not on the ballot. So the basic principle, though, is Tina Kotek better than Christine Drazen? Christine Drazen lost by, I'm going to round up numbers here, 10,000, and 80,000 Republicans did not vote. That's not even to mention the growing number of NAVs because of motor voter laws. People are shifting automatically back to NAV, and they have to then physically go and move their status back to whatever party they wanted to be affiliated with.
Are you working a strategy to reach out to the non-affiliated? It's because the non-affiliated out, you know, are larger than either Democrat or Republicans in Jackson and Josephine County.
They are. A positive thing to note here is that the Republican Party grew in registration, which is our part of our mission, that we are growing. And the Democrat Party in Jackson County did not grow. It lost affiliates or people labeling as Democrats. The NAV Party, though, we're at 49,000. The NAV Party is at 60,000. So the breakdown is similar to the Republican-Democrat breakdown in Jackson County to the NAVs because they're just inadvertently pushed over to the NAV column.
Yeah, I get it. But what I was trying to get at, though, is that, you know, when it comes to the big events and even the big statewide candidates here that are running as Republicans, you can't elect them with just Republicans. As you well know, the math is not in the favor if you're talking about just the Republican faithful. So there has to be outreach outside the bubble, right? And I'm hoping
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So, we're very... And that's, again, where we took, you know, everything, you know, as a decision. You're in the ring, you're making those decisions, and there's always a pros and cons and ways of doing it better. But we removed ourselves from the historical office on Main Street so that we did not come off as such staunch Republicans. Now, that's who I am. So I would relate to that. I love that office. But what we wanted to do is really appeal to what you were talking about, the NAVs that are, hey, I'm not quite sure if I really want to identify with any party right now. And maybe that's where they want to stay.
But on the other hand, you could also approach them with like, hey, are you tired of the disorder and chaos? You know, are you tired of team chaos maybe, right? You know, that could
be. Do you like higher crime rates? Do you like higher grocery bills? Do you like higher gas prices? Do you like more businesses leaving the state?
Yeah. I mean, in that case, you stick with Team Chaos currently in charge there at the moment. But let's get away from
that. Exactly right.
All right, Randall. Hey, thanks for joining us a few minutes on this one. But Make Oregon Great Again 2024. It's happening June 22nd. A lot of electrifying speakers that are going to be there. And very affordable, too, at $37. And for an all-day event, Jackson County Expo. Which particular room? Do you know which room you're going to be in at this point, Randall?
We're in the Seven Feathers inside. It'll be cooled in there. We have food trucks. We got merchandise.
All right.
We got a lot of informational tables for our Republican, for our candidates and for organizations in the state.
All right. You can buy tickets online. JCOR, like JCOR. JCOR.GOP is the main website for this, and just click on the MOGA, MOGA, okay? And there are some people who call me up there, they're not into the computers, they can't buy anything online here, Randall. Is there a place they might be able to go to get tickets? Do we have a place for that, too?
Yep, you can call 541-770-5277, which is our office number, so at jcor.gop.
Okay.
You can find the office number below. That'll route to specific people who can help walk people through purchasing tickets online. We also will have physical tickets dropped off here recently, I believe at the end of the week, to the Republican Party in Josephine County and Jackson County and Douglas County and Klamath County and Curry County.
All right. Very good. JCOR.GOP, Republicans of Jackson County, Republican Party of Jackson County. Randall, have a great time with MOGA. Really appreciate you sharing a few moments about that. Best of luck with that, okay? Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
You're welcome. It's 7:34. You're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG in Grand.
96.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
7:36, standing by. We have Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschinger. We always check in with him once a week. We're going to be talking about the ODOT wishing to plumb your wallet. Okay, one way or another. I mentioned this briefly yesterday, but do you want to get shot in the leg or shot in the arm, essentially, is where they're going. We'll kind of go into the ins and outs of that and to get you aware of the dog and pony show and being brought up on your behalf in order to save you from bad roads, apparently, okay? We'll talk about that and a bunch more. We're also going to talk about a push to make elections in Josephine County partisan again. Yeah, partisan. I'll talk with Jonathan Knapp about that a little bit later on. Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
That's 541-776-0673. A straightforward and personalized approach is what you'll get when you choose me, Megan McPherson, as your insurance agent.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
And by the way, Megan McPherson, also one of the sponsors of the KMED Alexa Skills. So if you have one of those Alexa from Amazon, you know, the smart speaker, you just say KMED, you know, Alexa, enable KMED skill, and then... And you just say, play KMED, and then, boom, the talk shows come out of that. And, of course, we're also old school radio. It works there, too. 106.3, 106.3 HD1, also 106.7 in South Jackson County, 105.9 in Grants Pass. And, of course, my morning show is on 99.3 FM, the Jukebox in Grants Pass, too. And same with Herman Bertschinger. Every Tuesday, we talk with him, Josephine County Commissioner. How you doing, Herm? Welcome back. Good having you on.
I'm doing great, live from the ranch. So if you hear some cows in the background, they are just real. They're not AI generated.
By the way, what did you think of that sister's rodeo over the weekend with the bull jumping the fence and going right into the crowd? Did you see that video? That was outstanding. Wow. Just outrageous what happened.
Cattle are nothing more than a bunch of trouble wrapped up in a leather bag. There you have it.
They're pretty good at that. Yeah, you ever had a bull jump the fence? Just curious.
Oh, I don't jump them, go through them. So, yeah, everything, all of that.
All right, well, that's really good. Well, now that you're live from the HB Ranch, let us delve back in a little bit of politics here. I'm going to talk with the gentleman, Jonathan Knapp, behind wanting to have the elections in Josephine County go partisan again, right? That's what he's going to be talking about. He'll share that with me. What are your thoughts about that? Just curious.
Well, since everything is partisan, this idea that nonpartisan means that nobody brings their political views to the table is just a bunch of garbage. Everything is partisan. And by having partisan elections, at least you have somewhat of a general idea of from what field an individual is coming and how they will govern. And I've never understood it. I have one of my commissioners is a big nonpartisan, and I go, no, if you're a conservative and you run in a nonpartisan election and you get elected, you're going to govern from a conservative point of view. And if you're a liberal and you win in a nonpartisan election, you're going to govern from a liberal view. It's just how it is. You can't change that.
I know, but everyone seems to be going down this idea that somehow partisanship is somehow unseemly or makes it dirty somehow, and that nonpartisan is somehow arguably better is what they – isn't that kind of what they want to say, as if somehow – if you run in a nonpartisan election, that means that you'll be governing from a nonpartisan point of view, which I thought was just like, are you nuts?
No, it's just not a reality. It's just, it's you know, that's just how the world works. I mean, if you go to Australia, they've got, oh my God, I forget how many different parties. And when those individuals get elected, they get elected from that point of view. And it's the same here. And if nonpartisan is so good, ask the Democrats. Should we have nonpartisan governor, senator, representative races, attorney general, secretary of state? You know,
The ones that they all occupy and have won, right? All those.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, it's just, you know, and there's people out there that really, really believe that we'll all get along a lot better if we're just all nonpartisan.
Well, all we have to do to get along is just go into the state legislature and help Democrats pass more bills. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I'm for partisan elections. It sounds like, partisan, that's, you know. Well, that's just how everything works. And at least when somebody's running under a certain flag, you kind of know who they are, you know.
You know, Simon Harmon, and this kind of brings up a philosophical question. Is the real challenge for Republicans not that that they are Republicans as much as the fact that Republicans have great differences of opinion on whether they're conservatives or not? Isn't that the big challenge? Because over in the Democratic world, there's almost no doubt 99.9% of it is very liberal or hard liberal. You know, it seems to be one, you know, either that seems to be the variation on it. What do you think about that?
Yes, no, and that's because liberals in general are followers and conservatives are more free thinking. And that's just a philosophical way an individual is. And you can't change that, you know. That's just how it is.
Which also brings challenge when you're trying to get people to unite and bind together in common cause and get someone elected or get a policy in place, huh?
Yeah, one of the strange phenomena that I experienced in the Senate with Senator President Peter Courtney that I adamantly disagreed with, he looked at them as two two teams. And the Democrats is one team and the Republicans is the other. And he always referred to my team and your team. And I finally said, you know what? No, I said, we're all one team and we're all playing for the citizens is what I said.
Uh-huh.
And but I never did agree with, you know, Peter on that we're like teams, you know, and we're battling against each other. And when they get a bill, it's a touchdown for them. And when we get a bill, it's not a touchdown for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what concerned me when I look back at the battles of the spring primary, the May 21st primary, was that I could swear that the conservatives spent more time, energy, and money trying to beat our own party, people from our supposed own party, than we did actually taking on the Democrats. Would I be wrong to kind of feel that way, or where am I wrong on that?
Well, I don't know if they spent more energy, but they spent a lot. But I've seen the Democrats do that, too.
Really?
So, oh, yes. I seen when they took out Senator Monroe with Shamia Fagan, so Monroe was a long-term serving Democrat. I would say he was semi-moderate. He was reasonable, okay? A great old guy. I learned a lot from that guy. And then Shamia Fagan moved into his district, and then the next time he was up for election, she ran against him, and it was a big battle with the Democrats. And, of course, she prevailed, which was sad because she was an absolute train wreck. But it's like in the Democrats here in Oregon, it seems like it's who's ever the most liberal radical is who they want to win. And these policies aren't working. They're just not working, Bill.
But then we're told that conservatives can't win. We'll actually have people within the Republican Party structure that are saying, you know, you have to be more moderate. And to me, I'm trying to think, all right, so I need to be more moderate in my dose of communism that I'm supposed to take in. What do you think about that when people would say stuff like that? You had to be more moderate. That's how we ended up getting Newt Bueller to go on to win or lose gracefully, you know, for governor.
Yeah. You know, that's complicated because there is room for compromise on some issues and there's not room for compromise on another. So it's not across the board. I always give a very good example is how do you really compromise on abortion, but yet you take an issue like, say, setting the speed limit in Oregon. There's all kinds of you can compromise on that. They say 55, I say 85, and we'll wind up with 65. You know, that's a compromise. But there's some issues you simply just can't compromise.
Yeah. As an example, not being able to compromise on, you know, every child getting automatically gender-affirming care when he says, I feel pretty, you know, in government school. And the parents aren't supposed to know about it, right? That kind of thing.
And that's right. And so that's parental rights. You know, how do you compromise on that? That's a pretty tough one. I'm not going to compromise on parental rights.
Yeah, no. Could you imagine the uproar that would happen if a really progressive parent all of a sudden had their child inculcated in Christianity and it was a like real conservative biblical worldview and this and that and the other? Those parents would go nuts. But conservative parents aren't supposed to go nuts when LGBTQIA+++ in the Island of Misfit Humans are essentially elevated. You know, within the government school process, right? I mean, that's right.
Yeah.
Serious kind of thing.
Yeah. So, and this partisanism, you know, like down here in Josephine County, they were like nonpartisan. Well, that way Democrats don't have to switch parties to vote in a primary.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because, you know, I mean, I forget what the number was, 600 or 800 Democrats voted or changed their party affiliation at the last minute, and that was so they could vote in a Republican party, and then they'll change back. That's not illegal, but morally, I don't know. You know, maybe my morals are just a little bit higher.
Yeah, well, it's Rush Limbaugh's Operation Chaos redone.
Yeah.
You know, for a modern world.
Yeah, over Hillary Clinton. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the other thing before we take off, though, I want to make sure we shift into something, and this is going to be a pocketbook issue. That is just huge, huge, huge.
Always is.
Yeah, you and I were talking about, you know, off air, about what Oregon Department of Transportation has planned. And they've been doing the traveling and the listening sessions, which means the lecturing on, okay, do you want to get shot in the arm or shot in the leg, you know, over roads and road construction and maintenance, right? How do you see this playing out over the next few weeks?
ODOT, no matter how much money you give them, will never be enough. I mean, I struggled with that department and other departments, you know. I mean, I think my opinion is it's extremely top heavy since we don't build any new roads or anything. We haven't built a new highway in Oregon in, 75 years.
So what are we doing with 5,000 people in ODOT?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not the guy out driving the dump truck or the grader. Mm-hmm. It's pretty top heavy, but if you look, I mean, there was an article in the Daily Courier. It wasn't written by the Courier, but it was written by somebody else that was saying that a quarter of state of Oregon employees make over $100,000. So you got to scratch yourself and say, well, you know, when you look at the average citizen, Josephine County makes under $30,000. What's going on here? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those departments never have enough money. And then what the Democrats do is they don't want to add any they don't want to backfill with any general fund money because they want to use general fund money to buy needles for drug addicts and tents for homeless and all that and all of their little social programs.
Exactly. The important stuff that really matters to Southwest Oregon.
So what they'll do is they always start with this, oh, we're taking it on the road. We're taking it on the road. They ought to make a song, you know, we're taking it on the road. So they go and they have these meetings that only people show up are the ones that they've called and arranged to come. And so then they all have these conversations. And then at the end of their road trip across the state and all their meetings, the consensus is we need to fund ODOT more money. That's what that's all. That's just a dog and pony show. So
the point being, though, is that realistically, the gas tax has not kept pace with inflation because, well, it's not indexed to inflation. Should it be, in your opinion?
Well, it's been going up every year for the last 10 years, the last transportation
But it should it just be, do you think it should just be automatically indexed to the consumer price index, let's say? Even though that's a flawed measure of inflation, it's still something.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that because I'm really, we can't afford to pay government any more money, Bill. We're all out of money.
I get it, except... You know, of all the things that the state of Oregon does, maintaining the roads is something that we're pretty big on.
Right, but you're taking the bait. Let's look at the other side of the ledger. Let's look at the expense side. Are they spending the money wisely? Are we putting things out for contract?
Uh-huh.
How much is it really costing? All of those things. Let's take a look at the other side of the ledger before we get in a big old hurry to raise the price.
Okay. How would you, if you were governor, let's say, I'm going to say, if Herman Bearchicker was the governor of the state, and of course liberals were diving out the window, killing themselves, you know, in reaction to it, okay, how would you then make up for the fact that electric vehicles are pretty much mooching on the roads right now? We know that. And the current gas tax does not cover this, but the state's response is to put everybody on Origo on the chip and to monitor everybody's travel. So where would you go?
I'm not for that. I'm not for more
government surveillance. Nor am I. I agree.
But what you can do with electric vehicles, there's all kinds of studies out there, and you can come up with an average number of miles driven every year and what the average price of fuel is for a car, and then they pay that fee on their registration. Okay, so that makes them whole. The biggest, by far, over the top problem causers on our roads are trucks. Weight. Cars don't have weight. If we didn't have trucks on the road, our cars would last for hundreds of years. It's the trucks, and we got to have trucks because they move good. So that's really where all the damage, the bridge damage, the road damage.
But aren't the trucks already paying several thousand dollars a year each in road use fees?
They are. That's why we got to go back and look at the other side of the ledger. And we have to verify that the way ODOT is doing business is the most efficient. And if it isn't, we have to change that. And one of the changes is, more contracting. We talked about this in the legislature where we can give a road system to a private contractor. And they do all the maintenance, and they bid it out and all of those things. So you really have to look at the whole both sides of the ledger. Everybody is always quick to go to the revenue side, and I like to go and look at both sides.
All right. Do you think that it would that there's political juice behind doing like what you were talking about, which would be, let's say that – now, wouldn't it be interesting if they had roads, right, roads in your region, rather, that were taken care of by one particular contractor. One particular contractor then would bid on maintaining the roads for a region. Is that kind of how you would envision this being done?
Yes, and small contractors, because the unions are part of the problem. They're breaking the state. They're breaking the counties. They're breaking all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We can't afford it. I've mentioned it lots of times. We're going to run out of everybody's money, and we're doing it now. You are really seeing it. We are running out of everybody's money. You look at the cuts. Like, we just went through budget season at little old Josephine County. Now, we're just a speck on the map.
And remember, you had expenses up 14% and revenue 11% down, right?
Yeah, and so our budget was contracted $11 million out of about $180 million budget. It was, I think, $167 when it was all. So it's just, and you're going to see this because we can't afford it. Look at, I voted no, but they gave the sheriff a 10% raise. And I'm like, I can see giving a raise. I said I would be good for 5%, but not 10%. I said when the average person's making under $30,000, so that sheriff position's cost us about $245,000, Bill.
Wow.
When we do all the perks, because fire and police, their PERS are a lot more attractive than the rest. And, when you add all the benefits and all that stuff, it's $245,000 a year. So you take that, you take our roads director, and a couple directors, you got a you got four directors, you got $1 million right out of the budget for four people.
Ultimately, then, I see where you're coming from then. When ODOT comes out of its dog and pony show thing and saying that we need more money, we're just going to have to hit him back with, here's reality. It's not there.
Absolutely. That's how it happens. Yes, we're just out of money, so we got to become more efficient.
Do you think the counties ended up, did the state and the county overall, in your view, really go downhill with all of the COVID recovery money that went through here? I mean, are we paying the price for this now because now you're going to have to reverse course everywhere you look?
It's part of it. I wouldn't say it's the whole problem, but it's part of it. But it's also been a slow creep. Come on, start doing your history. Go back two generations and see what the percentage of the taxes that a person paid compared to what the percentage of taxes a person pays today.
And by the way, your overall tax rate, too. You have to include everything.
Right.
And that also includes your Social Security and payroll taxes, even though you don't technically see them to the same extent.
Right.
Yeah, you got to put that in there.
If my grandfather was alive, he'd say, why the hell are you paying the government all this money?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and he was saying that when he was only, he was paying 3-4% of his entire income to taxes. And now, that tax version, because it's so buried in so many places, gross receipts tax, that's buried before you take it to the counter and all that. You are up there between ease. I can easily say, your tax burden is between 50 and 60%, and some people more than 60%.
Herman, it's going to be really interesting times here because you even look at some of the negotiations with unions right now. Have you kept apprised of that Oregon Nurses Association battle with Providence right now? Providence offered them a 23% pay hike in the first year, and the nurses have come back and said, no, we want 34%. You ever think you'd see that kind of day coming?
Try to run a county. You don't think the employees at the county and the unions at the county level see that? And they say, well, the nurses got 30%. We want 26.
Uh-huh.
And so, this is what we're battling. And so at the government level or local government level, what happens is you lose the negotiation. They get the increase of money and then you have to cut positions.
Yeah.
So then you cut services to the people. Then the people complain. Because their services, they're not getting their services in a reasonable time, and it's.
Well, if the unions had their way, they would have one millionaire in each county as a member of their union, rather than $100,000 employees, right?
Exactly.
Ultimately, yeah, we'll have one union worker in Josephine County, maybe two union workers in Jackson County, both working for $1 million each. Just kidding, folks, but that is kind of where it goes on this point. All right, it's going to be an interesting time. I think I understand why you didn't run for re-election. Okay, I guess. Boy, because 2025, man, that's going to be the popcorn show, isn't it? Is that going to be a popcorn show?
2026. So these trends don't reverse themselves. You learn these things. I always say the only thing that comes good with age is wisdom. I think these are trends, and trends take a long time. So. People say, well, this is a bad year. Yeah, next year will be better. It starts with a trend. And this is a downhill trend we're in right now. And fasten your seatbelt. Here we go.
All right. Duly fastened. Herman, always a great talk. We'll see you next Tuesday. All right. Go take care of your cows. All right. And watch out for the bull.
See you.
Okay.
Bye.